The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org. Karma Teachers is Canada's first non-profit yoga studio and yoga teacher training school and is located at 45 West Hastings Street between Abbott and Carroll in the downtown east side. Karma Teachers offers scholarships for yoga teacher training and by donation classes to fulfill their mission to make yoga accessible to anyone who needs it. Today, John Z speaks with Andrew Fredericks and Richard Morrison from Karma Teachers.
Hi, everyone. On today's show, I'm speaking with Andrew Fredericks and Richard Morrison from Karma Teachers. Karma Teachers is Canada's first nonprofit yoga studio and yoga teacher training school, which operates out of 45 West Hastings Street in the downtown east side of Vancouver. Karma Teachers offers scholarships and by donation classes to fulfill their mission to make yoga accessible to anyone who needs it. First up, I speak with Andrew Fredericks, president of Karma Teachers, about the history of this organization, what separates Karma Teachers from other yoga studios in Vancouver, and the impact that the pandemic has had on their business. From there, we transition into speaking about karma yoga and the concept of karma itself and how one can deepen their practice not only on the mat, but also off the mat as well. All right, can you please introduce yourself, tell us where we are right now, and what Karma Teachers is all about?
Sure, my name's Andrew Fredericks, and we're here at 45 West Hastings, Karma Teachers. My role here is president, used to be executive director, and how I got involved with Karma Teachers, I took introduced to this place by a good friend named Dolly, who brought me to her classes in 2014 in the fall. That was what kind of kept me going on my yoga journey, and then I ended up in my position July 2017, which stemmed from several part-time roles before that at Karma Teachers. So started working for Karma Teachers January 2017, stepped onto the board role in July.
Okay, and how long in total has Karma Teachers been around for?
Karma Teachers has been around for, I haven't been here since the beginning, but somebody told me it was late December 2012. Yeah.
Has it always been in the downtown east side?
Always been in the downtown east side. Originally started on the top floor at the front studio facing Hastings. As it got more popular, more people came, and then it demanded more space. So we got the second room upstairs, the third room upstairs, eventually the whole building.
Yeah, it's really big here. It's my first time here, but I'm noticing you guys have a lot of space. And it's like, it's an old building in Vancouver down here, but it's like, it's huge. Creaky floors, but like, it's got some soul in here, man.
Yeah, it was built, I think it was built in about 1907, something
cool.
That. Yeah, so we're in some history here for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, eventually having the whole building, then just getting rid of the top floor to focus on the lower portion of the building, having the front entrance was everything. It helped people get a lot of traction and foot traffic, feeling safe coming into the building, still feeling confident enough to come through the back door of one of the darkest back lanes in the downtown east side to come and join in on a community that's doing yoga free or by donation.
And what makes Karma Teachers unique compared to other yoga studios in the city?
What makes it unique is that no one's ever turned away for lack of funds.
Okay, and because you're a nonprofit.
Yes.
And like the first, am I correct in saying like the first federally run nonprofit yoga studio in Vancouver?
Exactly. Well, federally registered is, so we're good all across Canada. So the original vision was to not just be registered in BC under these societies. We are registered with the Canada Corporations Act on a federal level. So we can operate anywhere across Canada, hopefully still fulfill that vision from the beginning, but we'll see how things go.
Okay. And can you talk about the, because it's great with offering yoga to the community at like no cost or sliding scale, what by donation or whatever you can afford. But also the yoga teacher training that you offer is very unique as well. And I just wanted to know if you could tell me a little bit about the yoga teacher training and how that helps yoga teachers get accreditation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of what started to build the classes was getting a yoga teacher training going, training teachers. Karma is about selfless service. So having teachers be volunteers here, having classes, it was good vibes. It was getting really attractive in the yoga community. It started building a lot of traction. The founder was really good at marketing and getting the hype out there. He was a really good hype man. So it started to kind of all come together. More and more trainings were happening. I remember in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, there were teacher trainings that were packed with anywhere from 22 to 30 people.
Wow.
With two teachers, a little less support around then too. So teachers were getting cranked out like crazy. And it led to like a really large schedule, mm-hmm. but also filled rooms too. So people there to continue supporting the vision and supporting the teachers as they practice. But a lot of people take the training not just for becoming a teacher trainer. A lot of them come to get a better understanding of yoga itself. So it can deepen their personal practice. It could deepen their practice off of the mat. It could help them with any kind of injuries, or it gives them some extra tools to take back to their workplace.
When you say deepen your practice off of the mat, like, can you expound on that a little bit? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good question. So what I mean by off of the mat is our training, we teach the eight limbs of yoga by Patanjali. Only one of them is the one that gets us on the mat doing postures, the asana. That is the third limb. The first and second limb are principles that yogis follow. And then the rest of them are meditation, focus, pranayama, dhyana, and samadhi, and pratyahara, which is deprivation of the senses. So there's all these different layers to practicing yoga. So, but just the most popular one here in the West is getting on the mat, doing our thing on the mat, getting a healthy body, of course. But sometimes that's not always available to us. So my question over the past few years has been, who are the yogis when they're off the mat? And that's when we start to look at like the meditation, the pranayama, and of course the yogic principles, the yamas and the niyamas.
So that's great. So people come in for maybe like a traditional sense of yoga, and they're able to like get exposed to all these deeper meanings within the practice as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes they had no idea like how deep it goes. And since we had so many different guest teachers who shared different lineages with them, by the time they're done graduation, one, they're either confused which way to go, or two, they just have a very clear direction that I want to go and teach Ashtanga. I want to be a restorative teacher. I want to be a yin teacher. Or they stay and continue just being a hatha or a vinyasa teacher. Mm. So having all of these different modalities introduced through a program has given the students a real kind of like a whole introduction to what's possible and what's out there and how they want to go.
And how is something like free yoga important to the downtown east side? Like, why is that an important aspect to have in a neighborhood like this?
Well, there's not a whole lot of money down here. This part of town, it's obvious that there's people that occupy it that have come from hardship and maybe have not found those healing modalities that might support them. But nevertheless, I've definitely had some personal experiences of people who have gone through our training, and then at graduation, they've told us that, like, you know, I used to be one of those people in the back stairs or in the back street that anybody would have just walked by, and then they share like how much of an impact this has had on them once they've gone through it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that karma teachers can be a place to bring homeless people in and start teaching them yoga. But we have had people come in off of the street and get into a class and fall asleep. And by the time class is over, they woke up and they're like, wow, like, yeah, I really needed that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just goes to show how much the power in rest. Mm-hmm. And also doing it in a safe place. There is some kind of strange vortex of energy in this studio that has kept this place safe. The walls are literally saturated with transformation, and I think that people feel that often when they're coming in and being open to the experience of what it is they're going to be participating in.
Yeah, because like when kind of a theme that I've heard from a lot of people that I've interviewed, whether they are community members here in the downtown east side or were former community members in the downtown east side that were, you know, street entrenched and have now connected with other organizations. And they said the first kind of reason why they got into some of these places was just because it provided them rest from the chaos of the downtown east side, that it kind of gave them an outlet where they could just relax and sort of separate from, you know, the chaos of everything.
Absolutely. And then when we're sitting in the class, sitting in the front room, we can still hear the chaos going on outside sometimes, but part of our yoga practice is to actually just be here. The sirens are going by, and we have, so we get a lot of stories about people who can some reservations around the noise that goes on out in the streets. But, you know, part of the practice is just hearing the sound and listening until it's gone. Coming back into our practice, not allowing that sound to trigger our emotions of being, oh, I wish that sound wasn't going on. But whether I'm here or not, the sound is still going to be going on. It's all going to be about how I'm going to manage that sound internally now on the mat.
Mm-hmm. And with the pandemic, I'm curious, like, how was the impact of that on Karma Teachers, and how, as a business, have you had to transition during that time?
Yeah, we're basically on our way out, because it's, you know, we did our best. We did everything that we could. Over the summer, we had a lot of support and a lot of partnerships and grants and interns that were working with us to move Karma Teachers forward and get data. But, you know, it's, we can't really understand what the future is going to look like, because, you know, we have a lot of great data of the trends that worked before for our students, but we just have no certainty of what's going to happen moving forward. And right now, finding teachers that are still willing to teach voluntarily is tough, because, you know, the economy is changing and everybody needs to be making money. So, of course, we've explored ideas of how can we pay teachers. And that does change a little bit of the model. I mean, Karma Teachers has been about selfless service. Teaching here as a volunteer, it's an opportunity for a new graduate to be practicing their skills and being of service to the community. I guess it really is just going to depend on how much longer this this pandemic is going to last for, or is this going to become like a normalized thing? But a hot topic that's come up over the past 2 days with me and the team is how many people are still doing yoga? Because if it's not an online thing and it's not an in-person thing, have people kind of decided to put it on the side for now? Because we know the mental health is, it's up there right now, needing a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And we have some exciting partnerships with another organization that is focusing on yoga and mental health. So hopefully that will start to amplify a little bit more of what our mission is and moving forward.
Right. So are you saying that you're done? You're thinking you're moving on out of this space, or moving on out entirely?
Out of this space.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I was looking on the website, I noticed a lot of references to Karma Yoga, and that was the first time I heard what that reference was. I never heard of Karma Yoga before. Mm-hmm. And you touched on it a little bit before with like service work and whatnot, but can you kind of explain what is Karma Yoga?
Karma Yoga goes back quite far, and I'm not an expert on these such things. So Karma Yoga here has been the acts of selfless service, doing things out of kindness without the expectation of anything in return. Out there, you know, sometimes growing up, we haven't really been given the proper definition of yoga. It's been more like, oh yeah, I'll do this because it's going to be good karma later on.
Right.
You know, I'll do something nice for someone because I know it's going to come back later on. Just do it anyways. Mm. Like, develop the habit of just, we used to have these exercises of random acts of kindness in my program. It just became habitual. Like, what else are we going to do? You know, and without that expectation of it coming back, just know that it does, and just trust that it does, but don't let that be the area of focus. Mm-hmm. But extremely good luck with strange things out there that I've kind of started to feel like, I guess my karma is coming back to me because of the amount of tickets I haven't gotten when I'm not paying for parking somewhere. I don't know, you know.
Well, it's interesting because like karma itself is a very important aspect to how we conduct ourselves in this world, right? Mm-hmm. In school, we're taught subjects like math, science, English, and so on, but we're not taught about the importance of karma, even though it plays such an influential role in our lives. And in fact, I mean, karma is something that we do learn informally in school, such as if I steal something from someone or if I bully someone, then I may very well receive the same treatment in return. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, karma is something that we're just left to discover on our own. So I'm curious, what does the concept of karma mean to you, and what's a valuable lesson that karma has taught you in your life?
I love this question. Karma for me is, some of my old peers had a nickname for me, and the nickname for me was of a person who is known to be of service. because they've seen my demeanor just every day and working, just being a service for people, right? And that's not something that's ever going to really stop. So when there's things that go wrong in life that, you know, I'll go through the emotions, I'll get upset and angry about certain things, right? But what it all comes down to after that and how I navigate through those hard times is, if I'm going to be following the laws of karma, then I also need to be trusting that the laws of karma are going to be governing the others as well too, right? So it's not just something that it's not about me. The karma thing is about all. I mean, even if we really want to go deeply into it, we carry karmas in and out of each of our lives, right? Crazy things have happened in our lives. It's like, that must be some karma that I need to be working on. It's from some past stuff.
It's just an ongoing teacher.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, always, like Iyengar says, being a junior teacher, senior student.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
No, my pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Andrew Fredericks, president of Karma Teachers. Moving now to my conversation with Richard Morrison, who is a yoga teacher, consultant, and volunteer with Karma Teachers. Together, we discuss how he initially came to be involved with the studio, the benefits he receives by practicing and teaching yoga here, and how something like yoga can contribute to the wellness and peace for members of the Downtown Eastside community.
My name is Richard Morrison, and I'm involved in consulting with Karma Teachers for a number of years now. I've volunteered as well, including doing some of their marketing. And then later on in the years, they did give me an opportunity to be part of their teacher training. So I did my teacher training in 2019. Now I teach for Karma Teachers as well. And I continue to support them with marketing efforts, including, you know, our website and our web presence.
Great. And how did you initially find out about this community here?
Oh, originally, oh my gosh, that was at least 2016, I think. I started coming for classes, and from there, it just kind of grew on me, and I started doing more and more yoga. So that's how I came across this organization. It was actually, I found them online and then started coming here back in the day.
Oh, great. And what's something that stands out about Karma Teachers that separates them from other yoga studios in Vancouver?
Oh, there's a number of things, but if I was to just put it into a couple of sentences, it would be, these are some of the more purest form of yoga, as it's aligned with the Eastern philosophy, as the Eastern philosophy of yoga. And so having had my first brush with yoga in Cambodia with a teacher from India, that was really important for me. So, you know, with this studio, you get this Eastern, the real Eastern philosophy coming through, a more meditative practice. But we also have a very strong asana practice. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of also active components to it. But there's a lot of mindfulness practices, there's a lot of awareness practices, and a lot of supportive practices also. For instance, we've had BIPOC practices before, we've had practices for different body style, different body sizes, and we've always been supportive of the community in that respect. So, and we're always welcoming of different perspectives, so we can introduce different classes for different styles and to suit the community. So it kind of... it's more of a symbiotic approach as well. But what really differentiates it, to bring it down to its core component again, is the fact that it has its roots on the original teachings of yoga.
So how can something like yoga and a community centered around yoga practices help those living in a community like the Downtown Eastside? Because this Downtown Eastside community, it's quite a unique community. So I'm just curious, how does yoga contribute to wellness down here?
What is your definition first of the Downtown Eastside community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a community that's marginalized. It has a lot of vulnerable populations down here. It might not be a community right away when you think of that has supportive yoga in it. You know, a lot of the times you'll see yoga in maybe more affluent neighborhoods. And so I think it's really important that yoga is in a community like this. But I'm curious, as somebody who's been coming to this community here, how have you seen it benefit people that have been coming through here from this community?
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, certainly to speak to the benefits of yoga itself, you know, there's various numerous benefits regardless of what community that we're talking about. But if we're talking about you know, a marginalized community, that it will bring, you know, a restorance to your nervous system. Mm-hmm. So perhaps the person will feel less anxious and less need of exterior drugs, for instance. So, or have a more, at least have a peak, if not just a, and I'm not particularly talking about drugs, but mm-hmm. in essence, it could be someone that could ease the need of a more stable nervous system. Learn how to breathe even. Mm-hmm. The breath is so powerful, mm-hmm. right? And so just the cues of breath work and coming into that, you say, wow, I feel so different now. My nervous system, somehow I don't feel so anxious anymore. You know, the breath regulates so many different parts of your body, and with that comes a lot of benefits, like more creativity, feeling calmer, even ecstasy itself you can feel with the breath. So just even with that small practice, there's so much that you can benefit from. So the more that we can survive and thrive in this community, the more we can benefit the people that are around here, you know, especially for Vancouver, because it's so out of reach to be able to practice this yoga, you know, as we know, with the rental charges and everything. It's no fault of the studios. It's just that there is a very extensive cost to be operational in this city. Mm-hmm. And so to offer this is very important. And it's been extremely beneficial for people who have brushed with this organization. Experience, at least even if not just a slight bit of what it's like.
Yeah.
Maybe one day it's a seed, and then one day they can remember it, and then they can learn to go back to it and use that towards their lives and the lives of others. You know, as they say, if you heal yourself, you're healing the whole world. You're healing so many different people that you come across. So there's a wave of changes that will come across.
Yeah.
And to speak to the program, it's done phenomenal for many people, not just myself. But if I'm to speak of it, it's been one of the most profound, life-changing experiences that I've had. And I've traveled a few places looking for that, including Cambodia, including other places that are supposed to be somewhat better off. But really, I found that here was the most profound experience I've ever had in my life in terms of life-changing experience.
Wow.
Right here in the East Side.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the word karma is interesting in karma teachers. And me and Andrew were talking about what karma means to him. And I kind of want to ask you the same thing. So like, what does karma mean to you, and how has it played a role in your life?
Well, I mean, looking at from the perspective of the Sanskrit word, karma means action. So looking from that perspective, taking action in my life, I mean, it's one of the types of yoga is karma yoga. Mm-hmm. So that just simply means you're taking action and you're becoming aware that your actions have consequences, and that each decision and choice that you make will make your reality. Okay, so karma means to me is that this universe is like a mirror. Okay, so it's a three-dimensional, very experiential mirror. And what you give and what you say, think, and do, okay, thoughts, words, and deeds, what you give, say, and do, will ultimately be your mirror back to your life. So you treat others like you like to be treated. But if it goes far beyond that, it's really becoming a mirror of what you'd like in your life. So if you want love, you become loving. Yeah. If you want to have more affluence, you give affluence in whatever way, shape, or form you can. If you want to be successful, you help others to gain success. It's by no means a definition where you're stuck in some kind of karmic revolutions in your life where you're doomed to fate. That's my definition of karma. It's just a mirror, really. And whatever you provide for the mirror, the universe will bring you back that reflection. Mm-hmm. It's a reflection, you see. And, you know, you just need to watch The Matrix.
Yeah. No, I've seen it.
Some parts of it there.
For sure. It's definitely due for a rewatch, though.
Yeah, it's due for a rewatch. Yeah. It's been a while, right?
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah. I don't know which pill I'd take at this point. No, just Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you sitting down and talking to me about karma teachers and just about karma.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Once again, that was Richard Morrison from Karma Teachers. To learn more about karma teachers and the services they offer, visit karmateachers.org. That's all one word, karmateachers.org. We've also included links to their sites and social media in this episode's description. I'm John Z, and you've been listening to The Pulse on CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver.
That was John Z in conversation with Andrew Fredericks and Richard Morrison from Karma Teachers. You can learn more about Karma Teachers at their website, karmateachers.org. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.